From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo this past weekend restated his intention to withhold state aid from localities that fail to enact policing reform measures by next year. Cuomo said that mayors and municipal leaders must engage with activists and community leaders to understand their demands. The nine-month ultimatum with an April 1st deadline forces politicians to the table to facilitate conversations with law enforcement officials, Cuomo said. He said, and I quote, "If the politicians won't have the conversation because it's going to be a heated conversation. You have to have the conversation. That's what the state says. Whatever plan the municipality comes up with is fine with me. It's the local taxpayer that is paying for the police," end quote. Cuomo said the state police are, and I quote, "going through their own process," end quote, for changing and reviewing its policies. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Jill Konopka is reporting for WNYT.com. Hundreds of people rallied in Albany June 13th for the freedom to choose and the right to refuse a COVID-19 vaccine once they are available. Protesters gathered in front of the executive mansion, sending that message to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo and the New York State Bar Association. Protester Casey Kimberlin said, and I quote, "We will not be a lab rat for any company, any vaccine company, Governor Cuomo. We refuse," end quote. Another protester, Wendy Ratcliffe, says she is not against all vaccines, just that there is not much known about them. The health law section of the New York State Bar Association in May released an 89-page report recommending a mandatory COVID-19 vaccine for all residents. It also called on the State Department of Health to adopt uniform standards for allocating ventilators and personal protective equipment. The Bar Association met virtually to discuss the report on Saturday, but tabled any action pending further study until November. And you can read the full story at WNYT.com. Lorna Chirot Littleway is reporting for the Columbia paper. The chairs of the Hillsdale Housing Committee, Ellen Levy and Janice Smythe, recently reported to the town board on the status of housing opportunities. To begin, Levy noted the town's comprehensive plan requires that, and I quote, "a variety of housing opportunities," end quote, be provided for residents. According to the committee's findings, 25% of Hillsdale's households spend 30% of their income on housing. Less than 25% of Hillsdale's housing stock are rentals, a reduction from 3 years ago. The rental vacancy is 5%, and the average cost of a home in Hillsdale is $400,000. Libby said she spoke with three local real estate salespeople who reported properties for sale are not staying on the market for long. Referring to the COVID-19 pandemic, Libby said, and I quote, "everyone is trying to get another house to have an escape," end quote. Also, and I quote, "it's getting more and more expensive to build in Hillsdale," end quote. Chipkowski asked if a Habitat for Humanity house was an option in Hamlet Park. Hamlet committee member Bart Ziegler said dwellings in Parkland require legislative approval, which he did not think likely, and I quote, "in our lifetime," end quote. Ward said the town did not have the financial resources to invest in public housing. Smythe countered, saying there was a, and I quote, "lot of misinformation," end quote, regarding homes in Hamlet Park, and suggested the town's committee members meet and brainstorm about the town's direction. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.